This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Just in terms of straight business sensibility, you'd think that if a couple of billion dollars is going to be spent on something, that something had doggone well better work. Such has not been the case in this economy to bring in more racial diversity, despite decades of promises to do so, and as I said, billions of dollars spent in the process. The results, says author Pamela Newkirk, are disappointing.
And that word disappointing was sort of like the word that many of these companies that do release reports consistently say.
Ms. Newkirk is a professor of journalism at New York University, and the idea that companies across industries are spending all that money on something that doesn't actually get results is the subject, by and large, of her new book. It's called Diversity, Inc. And what I asked her was, essentially, what gives?
Right. Well, there has been research that shows that the courts, when they are looking at discrimination lawsuits, that they pay more attention to the apparatus of diversity in the workplace than they do to the efficacy, the results of that apparatus. So I suspect that may have something to do with it, that these companies see the diversity infrastructure as a way of warding off lawsuits, or at least successful lawsuits. And I also think even those institutions that really do care about this, they think they can farm it out to a diversity czar as if the leadership doesn't have to be invested. And so if it's marginalized, if it's not rooted in the main of the corporate structure, the chances are it's not going to work.
What's interesting is that while at a systemic level, efforts to increase diversity have by and large been a failure, there are specific examples where companies have demonstrated they know how to do this and
exactly.
have been intentional about it. Tell me the story of Coca-Cola, because they occupy a good chapter or two in this book, and it's a good example.
Right. Well, Coca-Cola was sued for discrimination. It was a landmark settlement, and so they began to implement a structure in which they examined the metrics across the board, hiring, who got raises, who got bonuses. So they were able to make these interventions in real time. So it's very instructive to see the way a company can make change when there's intentionality from the leadership and when there's accountability.
So what do you want people to take away from this book? Because for a long time, the excuse, the rationalization was, well, we don't have enough people of color and minorities in the pipeline, and so those people aren't in decision-making positions yet. But now we have, broadly speaking, far more than we've had before, and yet we still have these challenges. So what's the takeaway here?
Exactly. We have decades of progress in this area. And it has a lot to do with how we look at people of color in this country, what we assume an elite organization looks like. I'm not writing about, you know, the Ku Klux Klan. I'm not writing about overt bigotry. But I am suggesting that we live in a pretty socially segregated society. If it's a overwhelmingly white world, that white world is going to be replicated in all of these elite fields and in these workplaces, because people hire who they know. They hire who they're comfortable with. And I think that that also has a large part to play in the dismal, abysmal numbers that we see year after year.
Pamela Newkirk, professor of journalism, also most recently the author of a book called Diversity, Inc. Ms. Newkirk, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.